We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by RootMetrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on RootMetrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, excuse me, powered by allsteelers.com. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers. And as always, give your favorite podcast host a follow at Noah Strack, at Donnie Droon. I am Noah Strackbine. That is Donnie Droon. And the Steelers are 1-1. It's not what everybody wanted. The return to Heinz Field was not what it was supposed to be, but that's okay. It's early. It's only week two. There's plenty of football season left, but the injuries are piling up, and that's a problem. That is a problem. We've talked plenty about this game before, after. At this point, nobody cares. The Steelers lost. It sucked. It hurt. Nobody was a fan of it. What hurts more is the fact that they now walk into week three, a AFC North hot kitchen battle with the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday at home again, but they have injury upon injury. Ben Roethlisberger highlighting the whole thing with a pectoral injury. Alex Highsmith gets added to the groin club. Is there concern? Is there any concern with all of the injuries that are just piling up in Pittsburgh right now?
Yeah, there's definite concern, especially so early in the week when we don't really know where these individual guys are at with their own injuries. You know, we have no exact clear identification on if any of these guys will be ready to go. We do know that guys like TJ Watt and Deontay Johnson didn't sustain long-term injuries, which is good. But, you know, whenever you're 1-1 and you're trying to not play catch-up, but you're trying to maintain that level of momentum as you go into the early parts and the middle parts of the season, you're going to need your guys. And, you know, you're going to need guys like TJ Watt. He just paid a very, very large lump sum of money to come through for you. You're going to need Deontay Johnson, a receiver you've been banking on. I mean, 22 targets through the first two games, astronomical numbers. Clearly, the Steelers believe a lot in him, so they're going to need him to step up. And just a plethora of other guys that are, you know, very key contributors. Obviously, Joe Hayden, Devin Bush, Alex Highsmith, Big Ben, the quarterback. And I think if he can't go and fans have to watch Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins throw a football versus the Bengals next week in a division matchup, it's not going to be a good time.
No, it's not. Nobody out there who roots for the Pittsburgh Steelers is hoping that Mason Rudolph and or Dwayne Haskins, which it'll be Mason Rudolph. We both know it'll be Mason Rudolph, is the quarterback of the Steelers this coming Sunday. Fortunately, it is the Bengals, and the Bengals, you know, they are still the Bengals. The Steelers have a pretty good grasp on them. That being said, the Bengals defense has definitely improved in this offseason, improved enough to take advantage of a sloppy offensive line, zero running game, and a backup quarterback who's pretty bad. Yeah, maybe. It's concerning. Do I think Ben plays? There's a strong part of me that says Ben pushes this out and just does what Ben does and goes out there and gets absolutely beaten up in week three for no reason whatsoever, really just hurting himself and the team long term. But that's who he is, and he's going to push through him out because he's Big Ben, even though he's 39 years old and he doesn't seem to realize that yet. I think what's more concerning is the fact that Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt and Joe Hayden and Devin Bush have groin injuries, which means that there's really no timetable. Groin injuries are impossible to guess on how well they're going to recover, how quickly they're going to recover. And the Steelers defense is going to take a major blow, no matter who they are, but especially against Joe Burrow and NFL leading rusher Joe Mixon, if all these guys are not back.
Yeah, look, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase. And we saw what Ja'Marr Chase did in week one. And I was a big fan of Joe Burrow coming out. And I even thought before he had a season ending injury last year that he looks pretty good. He made a lot of the mistakes you'll see out of rookie quarterbacks, but just for what you expect out of a rookie quarterback, I felt like he did fine. Going into this year, some of the passes he's completed and just some of the decisions that he's made. Granted, the Bengals don't look like the best football team right now. They still should finish fourth in AFC North. But Joe Burrow's going to come up, and I think whenever Joe Burrow's going to come up, the rest of that Cincinnati Bengals team will also be on the come up as well. And I think if everybody was healthy on the defensive side of the football, this is a completely different conversation we're having, you know, because I would trust Steelers defense of any defense to shut down a second year Joe Burrow and whatever other toys they brought to the party with them on the offensive side of the football. But as it stands right now, I mean, five starters, including Tyson Alualu, who's out with a fractured ankle, right?
Yep. Yeah. For the season.
Yeah. Yeah, for the season, we're still missing Stephon to it. Don't know when exactly to, you know, expect him back somewhat in the season. And just all the other injuries we just listed, it's not a good time for the Steelers right now. There seems to be not a whole lot of depth for those guys and their replacements. Obviously, Melvin Ingram's going to be the number one guy. James Pierre didn't look all that great.
He didn't look good.
Week two, he didn't. It's hard to maintain that great level of play for a cornerback, let alone a guy like James Pierre, through all 17 games this season. You're going to see ups and you're going to see downs. But just from a week-to-week basis, James Pierre's stock definitely took a hit last weekend. So you're definitely concerned about that heading to the matchup with the Bengals.
Oh,
so much. There's so much, man.
Like, there's so much. And on top of that, I mean, we saw what the impact of no Devin Bush was. It was not good. The Steelers needed Devin Bush out there. Robert Spillane played well, but he didn't play well enough, or the Steelers defense as a whole didn't play well enough. Joe Schobert, I think, for allowing that touchdown pass, I think he played as great of a football game as anybody could have asked him to play in the circumstances that he was given. He was not given good circumstances going into the game. I thought he played to every expectation I had, and I think a little bit above it. But you're right. Those injuries are going to come back and they're going to bite them. Not having TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith in a ball game is a total game changer for any defense, but especially one that just lost Quincy Roche on waivers, which means they don't have the depth. They don't have anybody to come out here outside of Melvin Ingram and Jahmyr Jones. And Jahmyr Jones is a second year undrafted guy who just finally landed with the football team. He played okay when he was in the ball game, but you kind of didn't even really feel his impact. And I think that if he had to play a whole game, you're definitely not going to feel his impact enough to create a TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith like atmosphere. It could be a lot of trouble for the Steelers. Again, it's a groin injury. These things could heal in a week. Joe Hayden and Devin Bush, they could play this Sunday. TJ Watt might be able to play this Sunday. Reports have been out there that he's expected to play this Sunday. Again, when you have those upper leg injuries, those muscle injuries, it's tough to say, hey, I'll be good on Sunday, man. You know, because like you could take four steps, your whole leg could cramp up. That's the end of it. You're not going, you know, especially a position like TJ Watt, who goes 145 miles an hour every single game. At the good point, we'll toss our first comment on our boy, Nick Salma, jumping on the show here. Melvin Ingram did look very good, and he looks phenomenal. He looks like he hasn't missed a step. But I kind of expected Melvin Ingram to look as good as he has looked so far this season. I'm not really concerned about him. I'm more concerned about Jahmyr Jones opposite of him and the fact that those two would have to play basically the entire game unless they bring Taco Charlton up, which we'll talk about soon. But I still don't trust that, especially against an offense with Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon and all those wide receiver threats. You want to force that ball out quickly. It's tough. It's tough to say.
I think if either TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith are able to go on Sunday, hopefully it's both, but I'll take either one of the two because that means a combo of either Highsmith or Ingram or Watt and Ingram. That's not bad. No. You know, like I feel like you could do a lot worse throughout the league, and that's kind of climbing into the Steelers outside linebacker depth too, you know. But if all of these injuries, and they have, start to pile up, that's very concerning. The one bad thing about the Bengals offense is their offensive line, right? They really didn't address it in the offseason. They really believe in the guys they already had from the year prior, and look what happened the year prior. Joe Burrow had a bunch of cartilage torn in his knee. Not a good time for him.
Reminds you of a pretty bad offensive line here in Pittsburgh, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But like to my point, if you're going to beat the Bengals on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to do it through the defensive line. You're going to do it with your front seven. The Bengals have very good skill position players. Like I said earlier, Burrow's a great quarterback in the making. Joe Mixon, we've seen what he can do, especially against the Steelers in recent memory too. And then obviously guys like, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, those guys are a very, very good and perhaps even underrated receiving core and trio there in Cincinnati. But the game starts and begins at the line of scrimmage. And if you're going to let a not good Bengals offensive line dictate the game, then you're already in trouble.
But the Steelers might not have a good defensive line, and that's what's concerning.
That's what I'm saying. If they had a good defensive line, you don't have to worry about that now with all of these injuries. Not even the defensive line, but the entire front seven. If that's not ready to go, you're going to allow a Bengals offensive line, which is not good, to elevate to a team that will look good against you.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I think that Alex Highsmith or TJ Watt playing in this game is a complete game changer from neither of them playing in this game. And it could be a game changer that literally determines whether or not the Steelers walk out of there 2-1 or 1-2, which I don't think Steelers fans can handle. I don't think Heinz Field could take another loss because that place was bumping on Sunday. It was awesome to be around. It was awesome to be a part of. It was bumping. They shouldn't have walked out of there with a loss. They did walk out of there with a loss, though, and we all know why. You could blame whatever you want on the defense. The defense should not have to win you every single ball game like they did in week one. And if we're going to be real, it's not the wide receivers. It's certainly not 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger trying everything he possibly can to escape a pocket every time. It's the offensive line and how bad they are. We knew it was going to be a concern coming into the season. We knew it was going to be a bigger concern after we saw how bad they were in week one. Week two rolls around. Ben gets hit 10 times. He's 39 years old. He gets hit 10 times. He has a pec injury now. We're 2 weeks into the season. How detrimental is this offensive line to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
So before we even get into the offensive line, and that's probably a whole other podcast in itself, why does Ben in year 17 or whatever still not get the calls that other quarterbacks around the league have been? Multiple times that dude got hammered up high after releasing the ball and got nothing called towards him. Like, I really think it's like that Cam Newton effect to where he's just so big and like the referees already don't give him enough calls. So it's kind of like, oh, like it's Cam or it's Ben. Like, he'll be fine. He's a big dude. No, man. Like, if you're going to protect the passer around the league, do it for the guy in black and gold too. It's so crazy to see. And I know I sound like a homer whenever I say that, but it's just like watching the game across the country at 10 a.m. I'm just like, what is going on? Like, why are we not throwing flags out here?
Yeah, exactly.
But that also bleeds into the offensive line. How are you going to let your Hall of Fame quarterback get hit like that, that many times? That's not even my biggest issue. My biggest issue is you don't help that man up.
I'm so glad that you
Ben Roethlisberger picked himself up, every bit of him that got demolished play after play, continually had to help himself up.
Yep. This offensive line, you could talk about how bad they are because they're bad. They're very bad from top to bottom, every single position. Kendrick Green shows bits of good signs. Kevin Dotson has potential. Trey Turner's a Pro Bowler. I don't care. They are all bad. They don't even look like a group that's here to play for anybody because that's the difference. I feel like last year the Steelers' offensive line was really bad. But when you have Maurkice Pouncey, and maybe that's the whole thing that the Steelers are missing. They don't have a Maurkice Pouncey. They don't have anybody out there to lead this team. When you just let your quarterback, your 39-year-old quarterback with bad knees, who just got hit for the 10th time, stand up on his own, you are just basically making the statement that I'm really not here for this guy. I'm not really here for this team. I'm just here to get better. I'm here to get a paycheck. I'm here to be part of a team. I took a job. I feel like guys like Trey Turner are just looking at this like, I took a job. That's not going to win you ball games. That's not going to be a part of an offensive line that grows or gets better. And talent is one thing. Effort is another. The Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is putting no effort in. It's pretty bad to watch, and it's honestly disheartening. You feel bad for Ben Roethlisberger to watch him just get demolished and know that those guys don't even care.
I think you took the words right out of my mouth, and if you're not going to be good, be mean. Be aggressive. Not spit at people mean, Trey Turner.
No, definitely don't spit out people.
Don't do
How
that.
How about Mike Tomlin defending Trey Turner after that one? Like, oh, you know, Trey Turner got spit on. I was like, I don't know if that – I saw the replay. I don't know if Trey Turner was the one that got spit on.
Even if Trey Turner was the one who got spit on, take the 15-yard penalty.
Take the 15-yard penalty and walk away. This is the middle of a ball game. There's 12 minutes left, and you're spitting on somebody. And then Tomlin, in his press conference Tuesday, goes, it didn't need to have a conversation. Trey Turner was more than apologetic. I don't care how apologetic you are. This is 12 minutes left in a ball game that decides week two. You needed the offense out there, and instead you're going to just get, you're the most veteran guy on that offensive line, and you're just going to get disqualified for a dumb penalty. Nah, it's another classic example that this offensive line is just here for themselves and not the team, and they're not going to grow because of that. And again, maybe it's
so
Marquise Pouncey.
I don't know if I personally would go that far. But, dude, and this is a really great point that you brought up just a minute ago. The differences between this offensive line that we have right now and the one we had 2-3 years ago,
dude,
night and day, completely disregarding talent, completely disregarding that, because we know the Steelers had a top three unit in the league for the offensive line continually, year after year. We're talking guys like Pouncey, the Castro, even Villanueva. Just like they, if they played for nothing else, they played for the dude behind them. They knew that his career was coming to an end and they wanted to get him a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This offensive line right now doesn't look like they're playing with any heart. I will say Kendrick Green, I am a fan. That dude seems to want to drill people into the turf every single play.
I do love that. I do
big fan of that. I don't know. And this all goes back to, and I hate to harp on this, thinking Najee Harris was going to fix everything. I'd like, how do you walk into the training camp with this current offensive line thinking it's going to be okay? It's not going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody, including the Steelers, starting to figure that out. And you know what? It might be a little bit too late to try to find different pieces of the puzzle to put together. You think this offensive line is going to run this team into a deep playoff run in January? No.
They can't get better. You know what I'm saying? There's the only person that you could fix is right tackle. And that's if Zach Banner comes in here and he is somehow the answer over Chooks, which that's still a giant question mark. And we don't even know when Zach Banner is going to be back, but you cannot fix it enough effort-wise. You cannot fix it enough motivational-wise or whatever you want to put out there to just say that these guys will give you a deep playoff run, because they can't. Kendrick Green is good. Like you said, there are parts of this offensive line that leave you optimistic about the future. And you are 100% correct that Najee Harris, as good as he is and as well as he's playing, or he's not even playing well, but the effort that this guy is putting out there on the field.
I was 100% against drafting Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. I still am. I still don't think it was a good move. That is not me hating on Najee at all. Obviously, I want him to do extremely well. And just like even we were talking about this before we even started recording, what he's trying to do behind that line. Super admirable, man. Like he's trying to do so many things behind that offensive line. Like the lack of success in the running game is not his fault whatsoever. Yeah. It's not his fault.
No, gosh, no. No, and that's what I'm saying. It's not the Najee pick that you hate. It's the fact that overall, for three rounds of an offensive draft and all of free agency, the Pittsburgh Steelers just went offensive line, man. We don't need an offensive line. We just lost every single one of our starting offensive linemen. What are you talking about? We need
an offensive line. We'll get a running back and a tight end first. That's two what rounds.
I'm saying. We'll get a running back, a tight end. We'll re-sign our backup right tackle, who was supposed to start last year, but he's coming off an ACL injury, so he's only going to be better. And then we're going to try to move our right tackle, who was clearly our worst offensive lineman, to the left side. And, but just as a backup plan, we're going to use our third and fourth draft pick as a center and a left tackle. Oh. And before we go anywhere else, let's just get the guard who also could kind of play center, but has only played one game of center in his college career. That's what the Pittsburgh Steelers did. And it's not even exaggerated. That's exactly
what they did. It's not. It's
like how anybody or them expected anything different is mind-blowing.
I will say the Freiermuth pick, granted, didn't love the second-round price tag, but with what we've seen from Eric Ebron and what we've seen from Pat Freiermuth, I understand it. I really do. Eric Ebron, he's not getting another deal in Pittsburgh, man. No way.
Freiermuth is good. He's definitely a better talent. He's more consistent. Eric Ebron is the guy that's just dropping passes at this point. But and don't get any of that wrong. Like Najee Harris in a year or 2 years is going to be one of the best running backs in the NFL. Pat Freiermuth in a year or 2 years is probably going to be one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And that offensive line is going to be much better in 2 years. The problem then will be the fact that Mason Rudolph is their quarterback and they have no Super Bowl hopes at all. Like their timeline for this is, it's hard. And I get it. Like, you know, at one hand you're saying, this is it, our last ride with Big Ben. Let's do everything we possibly can to get Big Ben a Super Bowl. But the other hand, you got to go, we got to build for the future. And I felt like they gave a good mix, but I think it's going to end up with Ben in a 9-8 season and a lot of missed opportunities because the dude's taken 400 hits. And honestly, I don't even think he's going to be able to finish the season, because if he's already dealing with injuries in week two and he's getting hit 10 times in week two against, you know, two good defenses, but the Steelers have the second hardest schedule in the NFL. They still got to play the Ravens twice this season. It's hard. They have to play the Cleveland Browns twice this season. It's hard to say that Ben's not going to just get destroyed and going to have to miss a game or two or maybe more. And it's disheartening, but we've been calling it the whole time and everybody else has been calling it the whole time. So you can't really expect anything else.
Yeah, dude, it's like putting tint on a car and not changing the oil. It's like, okay, great. You know, like, great. It's not going to go anywhere, but at least it looks good on paper, right? Very like, doesn't it look cool in the garage?
It doesn't even look good on paper. Like anybody staring at the Steelers offensive depth chart and going, fourth round pick, Dan Moore, Chukwuma Okorafor. Feeling good about those two, man.
Look, like, Candace line get better? Yes. There are 15 games left for these guys to go and make something out of their season.
True.
Will they? You're banking on a lot. And like, I'm not trying to discredit those guys, but if you're really hoping for substantial growth in 1 year from young guys like Dan Moore, Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green, and either Chukwuma Okorafor or Zach Banner, dude, you are...
At what point, you also have to remember that these guys are not playing an extra game, and they're rookies. So at some point, they're going to hit a rookie wall, and they're going to have more. They're going to have another game. They go into the playoffs, they're going to have extra games, another extra game. Like, this offensive line, even if it does get better, at some point is going to take a major step back because these guys are going to be exhausted.
Especially now with 2 weeks worth of film on these guys.
Oh, this is a great question. Thank you. Thank you, Nick, for tossing this out there, because 0% of this is on Matt Canada. The Steelers ran – first off, Matt Canada does not get to pick who the Steelers go out and get for their offensive line. That's not his job. Second – the Steelers ran Matt Canada's offense for one drive against the Las Vegas Raiders, and they scored a touchdown on it, and it worked to perfection. Perfection. Mark Caboli, shout out Mark Caboli over at The Athletic. He wrote a beautiful article on it highlighting the film, because when Matt Canada does what he does, and we saw this last season, he does it well. Offensive line, that's not on him. And the fact that they just go away from it after that, I don't know who that's on.
So let me ask you this, because I'm both curious for myself and everybody else listening to the All Steelers Talk podcast, powered by allsteelers.com. How can you tell whenever Matt Canada kind of has the keys taken away from him, like inside of a game?
You could tell because the play calls get very – and I don't know if the keys are getting taken away from him or if him and Ben and Tomlin are talking and they're like, no, we're going to do this instead. And he doesn't really get as much say. because you saw Matt Canada's offense when Chase Claypool was hurdling dudes in the backfield, but that was a reverse. And, you know, Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger aren't coming up with a reverse. That's not happening. You know, you saw it when you get play action or when you get those quick screen passes over to Najee where he stiff arms the dude and, you know, gets 15 yards. That's a Matt Canada style offense where you could open the field up by these short, weird things that kind of remove the offensive line. And he knows that. He kind of understands that. But then they go back to RPOs. That's a whole other thing because I think an offense needs RPOs, especially an offense with a bad offensive line. So that could be a little bit of both. But when they're airing the ball downfield constantly or when they're just throwing these short, dinky passes or they're running the ball up the middle time and time again, like that's not a Matt Canada-styled offense. Maybe it's what he's calling because he's working with Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know. But a true-blooded Matt Canada-styled offense works around the offensive line probably as well as anybody's does in football. And it's worked when he has those full control, that full reign.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's just like watching a game from a couch in Arizona perspective. you can really tell when things are going because Canada uses a lot of that motion, mm-hmm. that pre-snap motion, just to kind of give Ben an idea of like what the coverage is, like defensively and what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I saw a lot of that.
No.
On Sunday.
Nope. You want to know when you saw it? When Juju was going pre-snap motion, took the handoff on the jet sweep, scored a 3-yard touchdown. Yep. That's when you saw it. You know, Matt Canada knows what he's doing. And maybe it's Ben, maybe it's Tomlin, maybe it's just, you know, not feeling comfortable yet or trying to hide things because, you know, it's a long season and at some point teams figure out everything. But Matt Canada does not have full control of this offense yet. And he should because he's very good at what he does. I do have full faith in Matt Canada. Before we head out here, I do want to talk about the two practice squad guys that the Steelers have who are now former first-round picks. Today, they added Taco Charlton, the former first-round pick who was selected two picks before T.J. Watt in 2017. Dallas, how you doing? He's played for Dallas, played 27 games, started 7, and then has split time in Miami and Kansas City, playing 17 games. Don't have high hopes for Taco Charlton. How are you feeling about the move? Do you think he even makes the active roster this season?
If enough people get injured, yeah. And I feel like he's an upgrade over guys like Isaiah Bugs, but that's a whole other topic.
Isaiah Bugs is going to start at nose tackle. Taco Charlton's going to be an outside guy.
No, I know, but I still stand by my comment. He's still better than Isaiah Bugs, regardless of where he plays on the defensive line. This move doesn't really move the needle. It's kind of a, hey, like this guy was drafted in the first round a couple of years ago. Let's see what he could do. Same thing with Carl Joseph, even though I feel like Carl Joseph has a lot more upside. And really quick, to start like a 20-second conversation before we have to dip. Carl Joseph, starter? Should he play? Should he play over Trey Norwood?
See, good. I'm glad I have some time to talk about this. Trey Norwood. I don't want to say Trey Norwood lost the ballgame for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He by no means lost the ballgame for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But he played 80% of the defensive snaps, looked absolutely terrible doing it. And that's fine. You're seventh round draft pick and you played real well in week one. You don't got to play good in week two. That's a week by week thing. You're a seventh round draft pick. You had zero expectations coming into the season. When he blitzes Derek Carr on the 61 yard touchdown bomb to Henry Ruggs and pulls up at the end, Carl Joseph is taking Derek Carr out, whether he's 3 seconds late or not. I think that's the only time you consider Carl Joseph maybe being an upgrade over Trey Norwood. I get that they want Norwood to be that move-around piece, and maybe Carl Joseph isn't. But at some point, if you're not going to trust Arthur Millett, you might as well give Carl Joseph a shot somewhere.
Completely agree.
Maybe one day. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter at All Steelers. And as always, subscribe to your favorite podcast host, follow your favorite podcast host at Nostrack, at Donnie Droon, and we will see you next time.
Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today. check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.